This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, horse people. This is Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 3rd, 2014, episode 884.
Good morning!
It's Thursday.
Let's kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
Your presence is required on the command deck.
That's right, folks. Today is your weekly two-minute morning to get busy surfing the web for off-kilter classifieds and emailing them to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com with bad ads in the subject line. Every Friday, Glenn and Jamie perform a dramatic reading of a select group of those ads, and the astute listener who submitted what we deem to be the best of the worst will win a fantastic prize. This week's prize, a $25 gift certificate from equestriancollections.com. Equestrian Collections was founded in 2006 with the goal of showcasing and selling the entire product lines of major equestrian brands. Equestrian Collections now features more than 200 brands of equestrian apparel, footwear, and tack. That's over 13,000 products. And Equestrian Collections doesn't stop there. Check out their innovative mount-up rewards program, Bongo International for great rates on international shipments, premium shipping programs to save big on domestic orders, savvy shopper sales, price match promise, and so much more. Hit up Equestrian Collections today for the fun, the savings, and the service. And now sit back and enjoy this podcasting gem from the Driving Radio Show, where Glenn and Wendy chat about touring the Alps old school in a horse-drawn coach.
Well, howdy, Wendy.
Hey, Glenn.
I had fun. I went out to the pleasure show at the Florida Horse Park over the weekend.
Oh, you did? How was that?
It was great. I got to watch a lot of the drivers go around, do different cones classes and stuff. But I had more fun watching the lure coursing. That was a riot.
Yeah. That's fun.
If anybody doesn't know what that is, they set up this huge, I mean huge course where they put this rope that these little sighthounds chase, and it's around this huge field, and they have races. It is a lot of fun to watch. Those little guys love their jobs. They get so excited to go chasing that little plastic bag along the ground.
Oh, they used a plastic bag?
Yeah, they tie a plastic bag to the rope. And they chased the plastic bag, and but the field was—it's that whole one field where we at the Florida Horse Park there, and it's huge. It must be 20 acres that they're running around.
It's so nice for the dogs to get out and do that. You know, sighthounds think about your dog when she gets out to run.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
so happy.
She would love doing that, except I'm not sure she'd ever come back. But she would love running like that. And they just get so excited and was so cute. They had the borzois and the bigger ones, you know, the greyhounds. And then they had Italian greyhounds and smaller ones as well.
Aww.
So it was fun watching the whippets go. They're a lot of fun to watch go. Yeah. It's just like little miniature greyhounds. So yeah, it was fun to see them go, and it was nice to see the carriages too. But they're making progress on the indoor there. They have a good part of the indoor structure up at the horse park. They're building that new indoor to try and get more shows in at the Florida Horse Park. So that's making great progress, and this thing looks hurricane proof. They're using some serious steel, let me tell you, steel and concrete.
Oh wow! Well, you know what else is going to be great about it is. It'll be a nice shady ring, like in Florida in the summertime. If you don't have shade, it's almost impossible
you
to
will
have
die.
A show. Yeah,
right.
You will die.
That's
so this right. will be nice. This will be really nice.
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. And, of course, it's open. You know, they set it so that the sun, you know, the sun's properly aligned. And they like in Florida, all the arenas are open on the sides. So this one's going to be open on the side as well to get airflow through.
Yeah. That's great.
So that should be, it should be a lot of fun to see that progress and be able to do more things there with horses and otherwise. And hounds.
Horses and hounds.
Horses and hounds. So that was a lot of, we thoroughly enjoyed doing that. And I got to drive my pony over the weekend. We got to take him out. Jennifer, for the first time, actually rode Beaker, and I drove the pony.
I saw your pictures. That looked like fun.
I didn't, with my pony all high and mighty, acting like he owned the world.
I know.
And Beaker going, I can't believe I'm going to walk around with this thing. So that we had a good time with that, too. And he was a good boy. He was a good boy for his first time out, like a big boy.
Right.
Now, we don't take him out in the road yet because he still spooks at stuff. He did he did rear and bolt on me at one point. Somebody crashed something at the neighbor's yard behind him. And so we have to get over that little problem.
Yeah. Well, you just started.
Yes. Jennifer reminds me that we've really only been driving him for 2 months, and he's still only five. So.
Yeah. And you don't even know if he was broke or not.
Right.
You're just guessing.
We're guessing at this point that he had some training, but we don't know what.
Considering she didn't even feed him, I would doubt if she
drove him a lot.
Time to break
right,
him.
Exactly. So that's been a good time over the weekend. Got to do that. And you and I have we can't say what it is yet, but we have something fun we're doing on Friday that involves driving.
I hate that we have to keep it a secret.
I know, but we'll be able to, we'll have some interviews for you coming up that are going to be very special, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
That everybody in the driving community is going to want to hear that we'll be doing on Friday. So we'll let you know more about that as we can. But we have a big show today. We have three guests coming on. We have Susie from the American Driving Society. And then we are going to be traveling around the world and into the mountains of a couple of countries. And the first stop is Andreas Nemitz from a company called Coaching in Bavaria. So we're going to talk about driving in the Alps. We're going to get that, him.
I've always wanted to go on one of those tours.
And the coaches he has are just beautiful. I mean, and the way they dress in the driving in the Alps outfits. I don't know what they're called, but the German outfits like that. Oh, they're so cool.
And my friend Margaret brought Andreas over to the house when I lived up in Virginia. And I'll have to tell you, he is such a fun guy. Like, if you have to spend 6 days on a coach with people, they better be fun,
that's,
you know?
True.
But he is really, really a fun guy. He's happy and he enjoys life. So
he's got a pretty good job. I mean,
yeah. So any trip with him, you're not going to have any uncomfortable moments of silence. You're going to have stories nonstop and you're going to be doing fun things.
And then we're going to switch gears and we're going to go to the mountains of the United States and we're going to head up to Vermont. And we're going to talk to a really neat guy who's also a radio guy. He's a radio commentator for Vermont Public Radio. He also helps run a theater up there. And his name is John Kalacki, and he drives a Shetland pony. And he has a fascinating story to tell. He contacted us and said, you know, I have this is what I do, and I thought he would be a lot of fun to talk to as well. And he lives right up there, you know, right outside the mountains of Vermont.
Boy, I know, we were really lucky. We have two great storytellers on today.
Yes, we do. Our job should be easy today. We can just shut up and listen. And all of that coming up on today's show. So let's get started with the American Driving Society. Here's Susie.
And it's time for our weekly chat with Susie from the American Driving Society.
Hi, Susie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glenn. Hey, Wendy.
We are wondering what is going on with the American Driving Society.
Well, we just got done last week. The Combined Driving Committee and the Pleasure Driving Committee and the License Officials Committee got together and put on a webinar on the changes that have occurred in the 2014 rulebook. So this webinar was live last week, but we've recorded it and we've posted it up to the website so everybody can go through and get a bird's eye view of all the changes that have happened in the 2014 rulebook, because there have been significant ones. They're trying to, they've changed the words and the descriptions for the different pieces of the combined driving event. You know, there are three competitions and they used to be A, D, and E, because we kind of deleted B and C because it used to be BNC applied to when we had the 5-section marathons, you know, back in the day. I don't know if Wendy, if you've ever experienced those. I did not, so I wasn't ever.
No,
familiar.
I always wanted to, but I always wanted to do that steeplechase pace, but I never. Yeah. It was gone by the time I started driving.
Were they jumping the carriages?
No, but you just had to, you had to trot at 19 km/h.
Oh.
And people were telling me these stories. They said sometimes, because they would do it with the old carriages, right? They were in like pleasure carriages and they had to go 19 km/h with the team. That's pretty fast, you know, and they would roll, some people would roll over on C.
it got a little
hairy. Those were the days.
So they've reworded those and made it so now we do have an A, B, and C, I believe, section. I have to go back and check. Just to make it more consistent so we don't have that space in the alphabet. So we're in the process of redoing forms and other things and to make everything match up now with the rule book. But we did get all the rule books sent out, and the feedback that we've received from the new format of the rule book, everybody really loves it. So I'm sure we're going to continue on doing this. We added back the colored pages. So we have colored sections of the different sections of the rule book. And we've also added tabs to it. And so now you can quickly flip to the combined driving section or the pleasure driving section. However, these rule books were amazingly popular and we are now all sold out of them. So we do not have any more for sale, but we will definitely have the same format for next year.
Well, that's great that people are interested in the rules and want to know all the updates.
It's nice when somebody emails and says, I read my rule book, and I'm like, yes. So that's always encouraging because the rule book actually does have a ton of great information in it. You know, there really is. There's been years and years and years of expertise and review and, you know, care and consideration. Obviously, the health and safety of the horse and the participants is number one always. So
what that basically means, if we're being honest, is that all the women read the rule book and all the men didn't, because we don't read directions. It's not what we do.
Yeah. I remember that. When we built our barn, my husband kind of took the directions that we got with the barn and threw those away.
Aren't they just rather the rules? We kind of look at rules more as suggestions.
Guidelines.
Yeah, they're guidelines. That's right.
Well, those guidelines could get you into trouble if you don't.
And they do.
So it's always good. I remember going to a clinic and Larry Poulin was the presenter and he said, don't give away the easy points, read your rule book. And he's
That's
right.
True.
You
That's
know?
True.
Don't give away the easy stuff. Go ahead and know what you're required and you know what the judge is looking for. So
we don't read the marriage rule book before we do that either. So
there is one. If there is one, send it to me.
Very good. Where can people find it?
You can find all this information at theamericandrivingsociety.org. And there's a tab specifically there for the rule book. And you can go on there and download the new copy with all we found a few grammatical errors and stuff like that. So if you didn't purchase a printed version, you can get a clean copy of the ones that have the little housekeeping updates. If you got the nice rule book, you can just make some quick pen and ink changes to that. And then you can listen to the webinar that went through the major changes in the rule book.
Very good. Thank you, Susie.
You guys have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Well, right after this word from Driving Essentials, we're going to head to Germany, Bavaria, to be specific, and we're going to speak to a guy named Andreas Nimitz, who's going to tell us all about his company over there and how you, too, can go driving in Bavaria. I can't wait to talk to him. Glenn here from the Driving Radio Show at drivingradioshow.com, and I am back with Jack from Driving Essentials with the Driving Essentials Product of the Week.
This week I wanted to talk about Gwinkowski's Model Falcon, the marathon carriage. There's 8 models within the range of Falcon, and they are made for animals as small as a 12-hand pony on up to team warmbloods. and they're for the marathon phase of combined driving or for training and exercising your horses. The model was debuted in Europe in 2009, and as of last year, the annual sales of this model is about 55% of all the carriages that Glinkowski makes. Now, the lightweight carriages for the 12-hand ponies have a single front seat, and that's true up to single horse. And then the heavier carriages in the around 220-kilo range, which would be about 470 pounds, that also can be used for a single horse, and at that point they begin to have a double front seat. So the single horse driver really has a choice, and cob and pony, really it's a single front seat. And of course for pair and four in hand, most of them are double front seats. Pneumatic suspension in the rear on most of the models, and they can be customized. We built one for a lady, a Falcon 190 for a single horse, who I guess had some back and neck history, so to speak, and wanted a very smooth riding carriage. So we put pneumatic suspension on the front and the rear, not just the rear, and gave her a way to access from the back so she didn't have to have a big step to climb over the front wheel.
That must have been a smooth ride with that.
It is. She loves it. she loves it. She first time I think she used it, or one of the first times, it was the National Drive. And she's down in Florida, I think, for the winter right now. Hopefully we'll see her at Live Oak, or hopefully I will have seen her there. I'm hoping to have a Falcon or two at Southern Pines. We have some in stock, but I hope I still have them by the time we get to the Southern Pines show.
Very good. And how can people find them on your website?
They can find them under the Glinkowski Carriages, and then Marathon. Click on Marathon, and then either single or pair Falcon. And they can always go to our carriages in stock to see what models we actually have in stock at any given point in time.
Very good. And if they want, can they do custom colors too if they want to order?
Yes, custom colors and stripe or starburst on the wheels, whatever they like.
Very good. So that's Glinkowski Falcon, F-A-L-C-O-N, at drivingessentials.com. Hi, Andreas, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Hello.
Well, you know, we wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about the business that you have there in Bavaria, about coaching in Bavaria. And I saw it actually an ad in one of the magazines, and I wanted to ask you, what do you do?
Well, we have a little business with carriages and horses. We are doing traveling with carriages. And if I say carriages, I mean real carriages, original ones. Most of them are without disc brakes, with the classical vintage hand brakes. And we do traveling with horses and leather harnesses. Our main horses are the old Oldenburg breed, what you may call the heavy warm blood. And for the gray horses, we have the Kladruber horses, which once had been the white horses for the Vienna court for the state carriages.
So
this is our horses, and we had started, you may be amused, it had been the Arabian sheikhs who forced us to do this. Well, yeah, you may remember it was in 1973 when on the end of one of these Israelic-Egyptian wars, when the sheikhs turned off the oil wealth, and we went from one day to the other, we had no oil anymore in Europe. And in Germany, it was forbidden to use private cars for a while. Huh. And as we live about 6 miles away from any public transportation possibilities, we said, well, we have to buy a horse. Normally, if the state starts regulations like this, they become worse and worse. And so we bought a horse, and we still had a carriage from the old times, and harness was not a problem. So we bought a nice bay Hungarian mare in December 1973. So this was the beginning. And of course, one horse is nice, but two horses are nicer, and four horses are even nicer. So suddenly we learned that horses cost money, and we looked for a possibility to make a bit of money out of the horses. And when I had finished school, I had made a journey with my parents from Bavaria to Austria and to the Czechian border. It was a 4 weeks tour, and I had no horses, we had no carriage, we had no hounds, we had nothing. Everything was borrowed by people, the horses from a horse butcher, the landau from a blacksmith, and the harness from a harness maker, and so we went on. And this was such a great thing. We had so great experiences that I did it later with my wife as when I married her as a kind of honeymoon. So 4 weeks on the carriage with a landau through Bavaria and Austria. So this was the beginning. And then
I hope she likes horses.
Yeah, I hope she liked it.
Yeah. She's still with me. We have 6 years. We have our 50th wedding anniversary.
Oh, good. Okay.
With the same lady, the same woman. Yeah, well, and so we started to try to make some money, and we offered tours from our little farm here to the romantic castles of Ludwig. It is about a 2 or 3 day tour one way, and in a round way, it is a 4 or 6 day tour, depending on which route you take. And this was a little niche, and I did it about 10 years as a by job. And then the moment came, then I said, now either or, we stop it or we do it full time. And so we did. And since then, I do this.
So now you can do you still do those longer tours like that?
Yes. Well, the great thing, we just had a group of English driving students. We had a four-hand driving course last 12 days. And they said, what we have here, you could nearly find anywhere else in the Anglo-Saxon world. This is these endless little backtracks between the villages and the farms and the forests. We had hundreds, if not thousands, of kilometers and miles where you can go far away from any traffic. And due to our constitution, the Bavarian constitution at least, you have the right to use these tracks without paying anything, without asking anybody. And this is a great thing. They couldn't believe this, that it was possible to drive 12 days every day, a different tour on different tracks, without traffic, now and then a farm tractor or a forestal vehicle, but you are really like in the old times, and you find every half a day distance, you find a good inn for the night or for the meal, for the lunch. You could tie the horses, have a good substantial lunch or dinner there. You could stay the night there. And this is great. Yeah, this is really great. In the States, I've been once in Oregon in these juniper forests, and they had wonderful tracks, but no inns where you could stay.
Right.
And this was a great experience here for all of our guests. They couldn't believe this possibility. And I always invite them, come with your own horses or use ours, and we make a 4 or 5 day tour together, and you can really drive as you had done 150 years ago.
I didn't realize that you had all these paths. I thought you had to go on the road. So that's wonderful.
Well, the thing is, we have a different system of farms here in Bavaria, at least. Mm-hmm. All the farms have been clustered together in a little town around the church, around the inn, around the schoolhouse.
Right.
And all their fields and meadows and arable land had been outside. So they had to go from their farm always 1 or 2 miles outside to their fields. And so we had these little tracks. In other countries, maybe in England, for instance, or particularly in the States, the farm sits in its land. And all the land is around the farm. And from the farm itself, there are like a star rays, there are little tracks going out. But they are not connected with another farm.
That's right. True. That is true. Yep.
And this is a great advantage we have here. And it's rare to find somewhere else.
And you have another advantage in that you're actually allowed to drive on that land, where here we're not allowed to.
Correct. Right. Yeah. That's correct. And I don't have to ask anybody. And if we look for new tours, in other European countries, Italy, Tuscany, Czechia, or wherever, we make, of course, the research and check where are barriers or posts. And then we look for the owners, and we ask for permission there. And everybody gives us the keys and so on.
Yeah, who doesn't want to see a four-in hand coming across the countryside? It's so beautiful.
Yeah, and I would tell you, this is one of the reasons a four-in hand coming, it opens the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who sees it, oh, it's great. And then you can ask him for anything. Huh?
Right.
And he's really happy to help you. But in Germany, or particularly in Bavaria, you don't have to ask anybody. You can use any of these little tracks.
And so say people go on the multi-day tour with you. What's the average day like? Tell us what the average day would be.
Distances?
Yeah, like you start off in the morning and then...
Well, depending on our guests, some are keen to do something with the horses, so we start in the morning in the barn, mucking, feeding, grooming. Then we have breakfast and a shower, and then we harness them. Then we put them to and leave about 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And drive about 2.5 to 3 hours, and then we make a lunch break in a prepared inn, which we have selected.
Yeah.
And of course, we take some hay with us for the lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
Feed doesn't make sense for the lunch break. That's they have no possibility to digest it properly.
Mm-hmm.
So they get water. They have water buckets with them, and then we feed and water the horses. And we have our lunch. And after 1.5 to 2 hours break, we put to again, and drive another 2.5 to 3 hours to the night accommodation.
Wow.
And then the thing is, we have found accommodations and stables close by.
Right.
So we are in a real, either in a hotel in Bavaria or in a guest house, in a pension like this. And the barn is maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes walking away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great attraction. So you do not need any logistics in the back, no car, which has to transport you from A to B and so on. Yeah? It's all within one little town.
Now I'm looking too at the I'm looking at the pictures on your website, and of course the scenery is absolutely beautiful because you're at the edge of the mountains right there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are from north of the Alps, about 30 miles away from the Alps, and depending on the visibility, we either have them close by, very blue and high, or they are more hazy. But we nearly, if it doesn't rain, we always can see them. And you know, we have several tours across the Alps, over the Alps, and this is an adventure by its own.
I bet.
Oh yeah, tell us about the Alps tour, because you drive you drive 5 horses, right?
Well, yes, it is 1 horsepower more, and 5 in hand, or as the English call it, the pickaxe. This is was a common hitch for the heavier post carriages in Switzerland. Switzerland is the country with the most passes in Europe. And they have most of the experience in negotiating passes.
Mm-hmm.
6 in hand, we have only 1 pass where we go 6 in hand. This must be one without too narrow switchbacks. Otherwise, your hitch is too long. For the moment of the very narrow turn, just the inner wheeler works. All the others, they must not work, otherwise they pull the pole into the turn and you may touch the inner whatever limits of the turn, yeah?
Yeah, that's probably bad.
Yeah, well, this is...
on the edge of a mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my favorite tour is Tuscany. So we do it with 4 or 5 in hand shooting breaks. And eventually with pairs, depending on the number of guests,
mm-hmm.
maximum 2 or 3 carriages. And we really drive from castle to castle. From vineyard to vineyard. Vineyard is the correct term, yeah? From vineyard.
Yeah. Oh, we like that too.
We like that too.
And
we don't have to make our own wine, right?
This is where we are really hosted by the local owners, by the marquesas, contessas, by the vintners, and we dine in the evening with the families. And we do this tour now for more than 20 years, and really, you are accepted and welcomed as a real guest and friend, and never as a tourist. Huh? So this is a great experience for most of our guests which join such tours.
So that sounds like ours, Wendy.
Yeah,
from winery to winery.
Yes. Yeah, last fall we had somebody with us, you know.
Who's that?
He's a 98-year-old gentleman, and he did this tour, and you know him.
We do? Who is it?
You know him, yeah. It's quite a well-known American citizen, Mr. David Rockefeller.
Oh, is that right?
That's so great that he came on the tour.
He really enjoyed this,
yeah?
Yeah. He really enjoyed it. He had a little bit of problem with lifting his legs in this age, so we supplied him a Victoria with a very low entrance, so it was no problem, and he really enjoyed this. Huh?
Oh, that's great.
So,
how many different carriages do you have?
Well, I'm not too big. We have about 12 carriages and two sleighs, yeah.
Wow. And the sleighs must be neat where you live, because you get a little bit of snow.
Not this year. It was the first year in my life, my professional horse life, where we had not one time snow enough to put the horses to the sleigh.
Well, that's because you sent it all over here.
Yeah, well, I know. I've seen this. I have seen the pictures. And in southern of the Alps, they had meter of snow. They would be happy to give a bit away to us, yeah? But unfortunately, we had none, or nearly none, yeah?
Well, Andreas, how can people find you? We'll post a link to the website. It's coaching-in-bavaria.com. I guess the best way is just to give you a call and talk about what they want to do.
Either they send a mail and we send them brochures. We have brochures as a CD. We have them as a printed brochure and within limits, because it's quite opulent, right. We can mail our brochure.
But otherwise, just deal by email or give you a call and say, I'm looking to do this, and you'll set
Correct.
Something up.
Correct, yeah.
Well, this is exactly. Terrific. What fun. I'm ready to go, Wendy.
Me too. I'm ready
to
go.
Okay, well, come on. 22nd of April, I have still one vacancy in Tuscany.
Oh, there you go.
Welcome.
Thank you, Andreas. So we appreciate it. And right after this word from Fry Carriage Company, we're going to speak to John Kalacki, who lives in Vermont. He is a radio guy, as you'll be able to tell by his voice. He makes me jealous. And he is from commentator with Vermont Public Radio, as well as runs a theater up there, and drives a Shetland. And he has an amazing story. Let's hear from him. Fry Carriage Company is my carriage company of choice. If you are looking for the finest competition, pleasure, or restored carriages, then Fry Carriage Company is the place to go. Their new Stingray is one of the hottest competition carriages for 2014, and the Sprint Cart is perfect for people like me who just want a reliable, adjustable cart to drive around for hoots and giggles. Be sure to check their website or Facebook page, as they always have some fantastic specials going on. Google Fry Carriage Company today or follow them on Facebook. Just search for Fry Carriage Company. If you have a Fry carriage, drop Wendy and I a note and let us know how you'd like it. We'd love to hear from you. Well, hi, John. Welcome to the Driving Radio Show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm glad to talk to both of you.
Well, we go from driving in Bavaria to driving in the mountains of Vermont, which aren't quite as big as the Alps, but they get pretty windy at the top.
They get pretty windy at the top. They're green mountains here, and it's a great place to have horses, I tell you.
Vermont and New Hampshire are two of the most beautiful states. They really are.
Yes.
And, Wendy, I know you've spent some time up there because you grew up in Massachusetts. So.
Yeah.
Well, now tell us, John, let's first start. You're a radio personality up there with Vermont Public Radio. Tell us what you do with them.
Well, sure. I run the Flynn Center for the Performing Arts in Burlington, which is a 1,400-seat hall. And But I also do commentaries for Vermont Public Radio on different topics, and I've done a couple of them on my Shetland pony, because I moved to Vermont 4 years ago, and I've had a few tales to tell, some lessons I've learned from my pony, and just last month I was invited to address the Vermont House of Representatives, and they have a tradition here called the devotional. We're supposed to say something inspirational but not religious, because Vermont's a very secular state. So I did something called Horse Sense for Politicians, and I sort of talked again about lessons I learned from my Shetland about things they might apply to their work in the legislature.
Oh, isn't that cool? Well, let's talk a little bit about before we get to your Shetland, I got to backtrack here because I owned an acting company for 10 years. Tell us a little bit about your full-time job.
Sure. It's this remarkable Art Deco theater that was open in 1930 when it was going to be vaudeville and movies, but of course sound just came in, so it was a movie house through the 70s. And then in 1980, it was repurposed into a performing arts center. And we are the only theater this size in all of Upper Vermont, and so 200,000 people come every year
wow.
to our little theater in Burlington, and 38,000 kids come, and the school buses come to see student matinees, and it is just thrilling to me to watch all those kids come in.
Now, is it a community theater? Is
yes.
it local?
We do a couple of things. We bring in works. Artists from all around the world, and we're also the home to like the Vermont Symphony, Vermont Stage Company, Vermont Youth Orchestra, Lyric Theater, which is just opening. Les Mis this week is a local company, so it's a mixture of the local and the international together.
John, I just got goosebumps, John, because I do miss my theater days. So you just gave me goosebumps, and I can picture this theater. I can just picture it in my mind.
It's our own little Radio City Music Hall in Vermont. Is how I think of it.
And I know exactly what you're talking about because, you know, doing radio, and you know this too, you just don't get that immediate feedback you do like when you're on stage. And I do miss stage performing because of that instant feedback that you get.
Well, and I love when the little kids are here. I stand at the back of the theater and I watch them see a brand new world transformed on the stage for them. And One time these two little kids were walking out. They were talking with their kindergarten class, and one of the little kids turned and said, "Those were live people up there." And so, you know, often because we're a rural state, that often it's the first time that some of these kids have ever seen live theater.
Yeah, and so they watch TV, and they just think those people aren't even real. So
yeah, yeah. It's always a pleasure for me.
Now, you got it. Why'd you get into driving?
Well, I had surgery 18 years ago that initially paralyzed me from the neck down. And it took about 3 months, I learned to stand up and walk, but I walk visually. So I walk with a cane. I don't have sensation on my right side, and I don't have location on my left. So I had a brace on my leg for a long time. And so about 8 years ago, I wanted to reconnect with horses. I grew up around horses. But I realized I could not get on a horse. So I literally Googled, I was living in San Francisco at the time, I Googled Shetland ponies, Bay Area, and there was this ranch that came up called Fog Ranch. So my partner and I called them and said, "Could we come down and visit with you?" They were at Moss Landing. And they said, "Sure." I said, "Now, we don't want to buy a pony. We just want to see your ponies." And so they said, "Oh, come on down. We love sharing our ponies."
Oh, that's how it always starts.
That's what they all say.
Come on down and see the pony.
Yeah.
And the very next week, they were going to be competing the Santa Cruz County Fair. And they said, "Why don't you come down and see us?" And they were going to be driving. And so we went, and as soon as the driving class started, I said, "I think I can do that." I think I can learn how to do that. And there would be enough with me in the seat where I didn't have to use my legs at all, engage with my legs. And as you know, if you're driving, you don't engage with your legs. If you do, you really shouldn't do that much. So they were great. They said, "Well, here, we got a pony for you. She can be your show pony if you want to learn and do this." But by the next summer, I was driving her, and she was great. And then 4 years ago, when we were moving here, they gifted us this pony named Raindrop, who we knew since she was born. And it was just, so we trucked her out all the way across from California to Vermont.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, the first year, she was three at that time. But that was 4 years ago. She's seven now. And first year, we just took our time. And I had some help at the barn that I'm at, helping me longlining her and lunging her and stuff. And then we put her in a cart. And now we've been driving her, and I'm having just the time of my life. I reconnect to when I was 8 years old. My dad sold cattle at the Chicago Stockyards. I grew up in Chicago, and he would go on weekends to farms, of course, to get the farmers to give him his cattle. And Milledgeville, Illinois, when I was 10, or 8 or 10, maybe 8. So I watched the Shetland pony being born in the rain.
Oh.
And it changed my life entirely. That pony became my best friend, and whenever we were out that way, my dad would just drop me off in the morning, and for a couple of years I would just play with her, and her name was Raindrop as well.
No.
So when this one was born, she's the same coloring. She's a Bay Roan Pinto, and she was born in the rain. I told, of course, my friends in California this story, so they said, well, we got to name her Raindrop. So anyway, it's like a total reconnection to my childhood with this pony. And
isn't that interesting? Because a lot of people, that's what happens. They grow up with ponies and then get away from that when they have kids, and the kids are growing up, and then they get back in their 40s. That's our largest listener base, actually, is women, yeah, mostly, who get back into horses in their 40s or get into horses for the first time. Wouldn't you say, Wendy? A lot of your clients that way, too.
Yeah.
Well, and
especially
what
driving, because you can keep driving even when you have physical limitations, like what you were saying, or if you blow out your knee or you're older and you lack some strength, you can still enjoy the horses without having to ride.
Wendy, I have to say, you're so right about that. When I'm in that cart, I have my legs again. I can dance in the world. I can move quickly in the world. It's like, it's the most joyous time. Gravity is different then. And it's the only time, you know, that I'm not disabled, when I'm in that cart with this pony, and we have such a blast.
Do you have any limitations with your arms or hands?
No, my arms are good. Sort of. I don't, when I'm driving, because I don't have location, my left arm will swing out a little bit.
I have that too, John.
Okay.
That's not a disability. That's called alien hand syndrome.
Well, there's many
of us drivers that actually have that.
Alien hand. I like that. But you know what I do with it is that I just, at my reins, I put a yellow rubber band visually so I can see them together as I'm looking forward. So I have a visual cue that I can see when my left rein is kind of wandering in that alien hand syndrome of yours.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that.
Works. So just take red or just take whatever color works for you. You know, the other thing I love, you know, during my day job, I'm running this theater. You know, it's a $6.5 million organization. It's a big thing. I go there, and I have no gravitas. It's like I am with everybody else. I'm learning from the teenagers who are taking care of their horses. I have someone in her 80s who has a 27-year-old gelding she rides every day. Aww. You know, and I have to turn to people because first I always have to have someone head me and just, you know, because of my legs. And so she heads the pony and I get in the cart and then I'm kind of codependent on people around in my barn. There's like 30 horses at this barn. Everyone is so generous to me. And it is so great to go someplace. And for the first few months, no one knew anything other than I was Raindrop's dad. And I didn't know anything about what they did. You know, that's Indy's mom or, you know, whatever. And it was fantastic to turn to a 15-year-old and say, gee, how do you do this? You know, and so all of that was like I had to leave any authority I had in my day job. That didn't matter at the barn. And it was so refreshing. And also, I'm 61, and it is just energizing to be learning new things at my age. And I am still a novice, you know, with this pony. I'm still growing all the time, and it's like I'm learning new things. And, you know, she's a Shetland, so she'll test me every once in a while. She'll get in her mood.
I know that feeling.
And, you know, it's also interesting for me because, I mean, you know this, you have to understand the world through their eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, that the way they look 350 degrees, the peripheral vision. You know, you have to experience every. I have to drive, not straight ahead, but I have to be looking at the whole arena when I'm driving.
Yeah.
And it's taught me so many things for when I go back in the workplace. You know, and I think, God, it's if I could approach work in a beginner's mind about learning new things, or when someone's having issues, see it through their eyes first versus my eyes, you know, and start where they are. And if I can, you know, in a meeting, you often get the extroverts raising their hands all the time, and they get all the attention. But in the way our horses see with this peripheral vision, I'm also aware of who's not talking at meetings. Mm-hmm. And maybe the introverts need a different way. But all of that comes from this little 400-pound pony that I have, you know, that's teaching me all these things. And nothing is better than when I get out of that car and I hear her whinny. You know, every day I'm greeted with just total love by this pony.
Right.
And I'm so blessed to have this animal in my life.
Well, also, it sounds like you've realized that you can't force a Shetland pony mare to do anything, so you have to be at her beck and call.
Well, you know, everyone says, oh, she's so little. I said, well, she's little, but she weighs 400 pounds, so she could take me in any moment. And I take clinics with Jeff Morse, who's a great driver.
Yeah.
And he does a lot with Morgans, and so sometimes he gets stuck with me, too. But he's great about that. And he said to me, you know, she really takes care of you.
Yeah,
she's really conscious. And sometimes when I walk her out to her pasture when it's snowy, the snow is so deep in Vermont, sometimes I'm like falling over and she'll just push me up. You know, I have my cane with my snow clamp on it and her. But if it's too much, she'll make sure I won't fall down. I mean, she wants to get to her pasture.
Right.
And it is amazing how she does kind of, you know, watch out for me.
And we've had Jeff on the show, haven't we?
Yeah.
He's, you know, he is so great. I think one of his...
We saw him in Aiken, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a real thinker about the horses. I can see you and him really getting along in that city, you know.
He's very philosophical. Yeah.
His, one of his great things he taught me was when he said, create the horse you want rather than the horse you have.
Oh, that's good.
Was saying, come on, well, how do you want this pony to drive? Think about that. And he's really helped me. I go a couple times a year. And, you know, every time it's like 4 or 5 months away, then I go back. I feel like, oh, I've gotten a little better on this. Mm-hmm. Haven't done this. And he's just, he meets me where I am. He meets me where the pony is. And he's been very helpful to me. He had me at one point, because I don't have a lot of sensation in my hands, so I have a problem with holding the reins sometimes too tightly, or I have too much tension in the reins. He had me drive with my eyes closed.
Oh, really?
Like, oh, wait a minute now. And we were in an indoor arena, and he said, first of all, we'll just do it when we're walking. And he said, and she's not going to go into a wall.
Yeah.
And I will tell you when to turn if you want. He said, what I want you to do is feel her mouth with those reins. And it was transformative.
That's
It was just transformative.
He's very good.
I wound up having too much tension on the reins. And it's like I wasn't trusting the relationship enough. You know, that I was hanging too tight on her mouth and stuff and urging her forward but kind of doing this. And just that freedom to kind of just relax that last bit, to let go a little bit and have looseness in the reins. And then she has her mouth, and she's happy, and she's looking around. And what's fun for me is she's the only driving pony in this barn. It's all dressage and jumping horses. So there's enormous horses in this barn, and her. Right? And
what is she, 12 hands?
What's 44 inches at the shoulder? Is that,
she's like 10-1.
Oh, yeah. she's little, yeah.
Yeah, she's a classic, kind of a big-boned Shetland. You know, she's a classic Shetland. Not a modern one. And she, but all these horses, many of them have never seen a cart before. So every time a new horse comes in, I say, okay, let's walk your horse in and let her see the cart first and then let me hook her up. And everyone has adjusted except one horse, just does not like that cart. Jill is that horse's name. And oh my gosh. But we're in the arena together. Because sometimes there's six horses in the arena at the same time.
Yeah, usually they do. They like it. And we used to go on trail rides. I was the only cart and there'd be 12 horses out for long trail rides. And the horses used to tuck in behind the cart. I'd have them all breathe in my ear. And they would all fight over who got to stand right behind the cart. It was like a comfort zone. The bear wouldn't get them, I guess, if the cart was
in the way.
Oh, we had this one big old gelding named Rio and they used to dance together. I mean, he would be right up next to her and they loved it together. You're right. They once they adjust to it, it's fine. And you know, first they have to adjust to the pony too. He's like, who's this?
Yeah. What's that thing?
You know? Of course, she's being the runt in the barn. She's like the top mare. She thinks she's the boss and she loves the boys and those ears go back and we see her teeth sometimes when some of the mares come in, but they work it out. They work it out. It's a very joyous thing.
Well, John, where can people listen to your commentaries for NPR?
VPR.net.
Or VPR, sorry.
Yep. So it's Vermont Public Radio, and just go to commentaries, type in my name, John Kalacki, and you'll see I do them on all different topics, but I've done a number on horses. I've done some on the bit was one that I called about this summer about going to one of Jeff's clinics. Then I did one in the winter barn it gets really cold here in Vermont and it was really just below zero. It was freezing and I was there late at night and I just took her in the indoor arena and she ran around and she was kicking and laughing and she'd come up to me and I'd grab a bit, apple bit and then she'd run away. And we had so much fun, you know, and then she settled down. I put her back in her stall and there was just this sublime stillness in the barn. And I felt like, gosh, this is the best gift you can have in the world to be part of this herd. As all these animals are safe and protected and you know, going down for the night.
That was my favorite time when we had the big stables and 30 horses in there is at night after you put them to bed and you worked all day and you're putting hay up and it took, you know, you were dead tired. I cleaned all the stalls and everybody was happy and they were all munching and we'd just stand in the barn for 10 minutes listening to them all. That was always my favorite time.
Yeah. When I was talking to the legislators recently, I said to them, you know, it's the winters. There's a lot of drudgery in the winter with a horse, where you have to be chopped in the ice and
This winter.
This winter was really hard. I said, but you know, when I get in that cart and a drive goes really well, it's worth it all, you know. And not every drive goes well, but when they do, it's like just so perfect. It's such a gift. And, you know, as I said to you, Wendy, I got legs again in the world. And I'm the luckiest person in the world to have the Shetland and to drive in the world. And the people I've met in the driving community have been so generous. When I competed out in California in some of the shows, everyone would help me. And, you know, we all were just trying to do our best. And I think that's the fun part. I've met with the people in the driving community is we encourage each other to do our best. So,
well, John, you know what this means? Wendy, I think it's time for a pair, right? Isn't that the next step?
Or a tandem.
Two Shetlands. I think that's what that means.
I don't know. You have to talk to my family about that.
John, thank you so much for joining us. This has been fun.
All right. Thanks so much for having me and drive on.
Well, that was a lot of interviews with a lot of fascinating people who are good storytellers.
I know. What a fun show.
I know. John was a terrific storyteller as well. I could listen to him talk all day. I could see why he's in radio and why he's in theater, because he's got both of those things figured out.
Well, also, he made me like tear up a little bit, too, when he was talking about how, you know, that pony gave him his legs back.
Yep. Yep. And
how great is that?
We can all appreciate what he was saying about that. And neat guy and a neat story. And, you know, he made me yearn a little bit for the days of being on stage. I really do miss that recently. I'm going to have to find a way to get back into it, I think, a little bit.
Maybe there's an Ocala Community Theater.
There is, actually.
There is one
here, yes. The average age is 85, but no, I don't know. I have no idea.
Then you could have all the young parts.
And for people who don't know, because I haven't talked about it much on the Driving Radio Show, my wife and I owned an acting company for 10 years. We did 450 shows. It was called the Medieval Feasting Guild, and we actually met, my wife and I, at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. And
That's a great story. We should have a story day where I interview you about you and Jennifer.
We have some stories to tell because we sure did do a lot in our lives. But yeah, we met there and we were both performers, and then we worked there a couple of years at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. That was in the beginning days of it. When it was
tell everybody smaller. What you were. What was your
I
job?
I was town crier and she was the pickle wench. She used to go around. She didn't sell pickles, but she used to go around curing people's colds with pickle juice, and she used to help them with their puckers and things like that. And I was the town crier. They made me that because I was the loudest one.
But so, were you the kisser for some?
I was the town crier. My official title was town crier and flirt. And my job was not only to be the town crier, you know, introducing the queen and all that stuff, but was also to go around flirting with all the women and kissing a lot of hands. And I did a pretty good job of that. And that's how I met her, is actually was kissing her hand one day. And then I saw her at the archery range later in the day, and she was wearing these bright yellow pants. And she, and this is for all the horse riding ladies out there, and I was 23, let's keep that in mind, although it hasn't changed much. They were very tight yellow pants. So, and she's a horse, you know, she was an eventer. Mm-hmm. So needless to say, it caught my attention. And I went over and talked to her some more. And she told me when she was leaving, I actually saw her again on the way out. So I guess it was meant to be destiny here. She said, I'm going to come back and see you next week. And I thought, yeah, right. Okay. So
yeah.
She actually did. She went home that week. Now, she had a full-time job at a barn as a working student, making about $50 a week and, you know, didn't even have a stove or an oven or anything. No, mm-hmm. No refrigerator either. So she was, you know, a poor working student, and she actually took the time that week in the evenings after work and made herself a dress, a medieval dress, and wore it the next week. She got there about 3 in the afternoon and found me, and then we actually went out to dinner that night because we were closing in 2 hours. She showed up late in the day because mm-hmm. she had to work, and she had put all her work into this dress. And sewed it herself and got it done and came down and saw me. And then that was history.
That sounds funny.
And then later on, we started our own acting company called the Medieval Feasting Guild. And we did, it's kind of a Benny Hill version of medieval feasts.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it at a castle in Reading called the Stokesay Castle. It was a restaurant. It was a castle that they converted into a restaurant. Reading, Pennsylvania. It was on top of a mountain, and it was that overlooked Reading. And it was this castle that this guy built for his wife back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and they converted it into a restaurant, perfect for us. Because, you know, we did medieval feasts. I played the king, and she played the queen most of the time. We had an acting company, about 20 people, musicians, jesters, jugglers, wenches, you know, all the whole gambit. And had a blast doing it. My jester, Marquise, was his name, and he met his wife as of today, actually. They're still married, and they still do the Renaissance Fair circuit as jesters. He met his wife doing a show. She was one of our performers. And and she was a singer, actually, an opera singer. And they met, and now she's a jester. And they
she went from opera singer to jester?
Yep, and they now travel that's the country doing... You've seen her picture. I posted it on my Horses in the Morning page at times. And they both travel the country doing Renaissance fairs still. And he must be in his 60s now, but he was one of the best improv performers I've ever worked with. We did 450 shows together. We didn't do any show without each other. By the time we were done, you know, 20 people in the cast, but if I looked at him, he looked at me, I was the king and he was the jester, we knew exactly what we were going to do. And it was all improv theater, you know, but we knew we could read each other like that.
Oh, it was all improv?
It was all improv. We had no scripts. And
that's what I like to do, our show improv too.
Yeah, you know, how could we do it with scripts? That would require planning.
I know. I try to read the notes sometimes, but.
But, you know, people have said, do you script your shows? I'm like, are you kidding?
Well, you know what? We couldn't stay on the script anyways. It's too hard.
No, we just, and you know what? We don't give questions to our, we're one of the very few, and some of our guests get mad at us because they'll ask for questions ahead of time. We won't do it.
I like that when they say, well, what are you going to ask me? And I'm like, I don't know.
I have no idea. We really don't have any idea until we start what we're going to ask. And then we don't have any idea. We just follow, we just talk. We just have a conversation.
I think some shows that's totally obvious that we haven't planned anything.
You're right. You're right, but that's what makes it fun. So anyway, that's how we started, and we did those shows for 450 of them over 10 years. For open to the public shows, we used to do, these were the most fun. We used to rent out an entire hotel in Reading, and we used to do New Year's Eve feasts. And they were five hours long. Everybody that came and paid ticket prices had to pay to stay at the hotel. And we had buses that bussed us up to the... You had to stay. You couldn't drive in.
Right.
And the buses all took us up, all 250 of us or whatever it was. And cast included, we were on the buses. And we went up with them, and we did a five-hour show, four or five courses of food and dancing at midnight and medieval dancing at midnight, which I wasn't very good at as the king, but I had two bottles of champagne by the time that came. Oh. So I got better.
Yeah. Two bottles of champagne for you is a lot. Glenn.
That was a lot. It was required actually that the restaurant have two bottles of champagne. It was set aside. The cast knew they weren't allowed to touch it. That was for me.
Because
that was the only way I was going to be dancing at midnight.
But so did the hotel make all the food?
No, the Stokesay Castle did. So we went up to the restaurant, and they did all the food, and we actually had the feast at the restaurant. And then they bussed us all back at 1 a.m. to the hotel. It was a loud hotel that night.
Did you, was it like medieval food?
Yes, we used to do no utensils. You had to eat with your hands.
Oh, really?
You had to eat with your fingers. Yep, everything was made so you could eat it with your fingers, ribs and chicken and you know that kind of thing. But everything was done so you could eat it with your fingers. Soup, you had to slurp.
Yeah.
Yep, we didn't have any utensils. If people begged, then we'd give them utensils. I'd make fun of them, then we'd give them utensils.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was different. It was what I was saying to our guest is that, John, is that you get immediate feedback when you're on stage because people laugh or don't. Mm-hmm. They clap
or
don't. And we don't get that. You know, that's kind of what's missing.
I laugh at all your jokes.
You have to. So
I do have to.
That's different.
But I want to.
Yeah. So it's funny. So that's what how we started all of this. And why eventually we went into started the Horse Radio Network was I needed an outlet for my entertaining.
Jennifer was sick and tired of listening to you 24/7.
That's exactly what it was. And I said, what do I know anything about? It was like, I know a little about horses. I can talk about that. So that's how it started. I couldn't think of anything else I knew enough about to talk about. So
if you didn't do the radio, Jennifer would go insane.
She would have, and I would have been insane, too.
She likes her quiet time.
Yes. I would have been insane, too, actually. You know, I had a good job then. I was a consultant for, you know, doing marketing consulting for companies and sales consulting for companies, but it didn't have that creative outlet like this does. And look how many cool people we've met along the way here, too.
That's what I love about it. I love that it gives you the excuse to walk up to people they just find totally fascinating and ask them questions.
Yep.
Whereas
right.
normally you'd be like, oh, I wonder what they're about. Well, you wouldn't necessarily go up there. But I think that interesting people know they're interesting and they like to talk about it. So just even if you don't have a radio show, you can always just go up and do your own little interview of them.
Right. That's true. That is true. But that's what we enjoy about it. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for today. Don't forget you can hop on over to our application. You can find that in the App Store. You just search in the iOS or Android App Store and download it. It's free and it's easy and it's the best way to listen to all of our shows. Plus, I want to thank everybody who's become an auditor, a patron of the Horse Radio Network. We're talking about NPR earlier. About VPR, actually, but public radio. We also are asking a little bit for your help here in helping support the Horse Radio Network. We do have sponsors. sponsors, but we're trying to grow the network and do a little bit beyond what the sponsors, what we can accomplish with the sponsors. The sponsors help keep the lights on, but that's about all they do. And with your help, we can help grow the network and put more breed shows on the air and more discipline shows as well. So if you like what you hear here, if you like what Wendy and I do and want to help support the hosts and the network, then hop on over to drivingradioshow.com, click on the banner in the middle of the page, and for as little as $1 a month, you too can become an auditor. We have some special things we're doing for auditors. One is the auditors alone are going to hear the blooper reel every month. We're going to put a little blooper show together from all the different shows here, and you'll get to hear the outtakes. So that'll be available to only the auditors. And then we're going to do a little auditor. Oh, there's none in this show. We're going to do a little auditor roundtable as well. So it's a special episode every month, and we're going to pick three or four of the auditors, and we're going to have a roundtable show where we talk about horses and horse life and just have a chat session. So that should be a lot of fun, too. So, and then a couple of other special things that we're preparing for the auditors that they'll be able to do. And, you know, all of that's going to be available for as little as $1 a month. So hop on over, help support the network if you like what you hear here. And if you can't, you know, can't or don't want to pay any money, then just you can help us out by just posting that you love the Driving Radio Show and a link to it on your Facebook page or on Twitter. That helps us. We get new listeners, and we need those all the time as well. What else? You can find Wendy at
DrWendyYing.com.
And don't forget, we have 11 great shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. That's it for this week.
All right. Remember to keep the shiny side up.